Welcome to EverStage's GoToMasters podcast, season 2. We interview the GTM leaders from today's most dynamic companies. Their unique insights, hard-earned lessons, and innovative visions are the stories we bring to you weekly. For today's episode, we have Kunal joining us, who is the VP of Global Revenue Enablement at CarSearch. Welcome to the podcast, Kunal. Could you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, AB, for having me on the podcast. My name is Kunal Pandya. I am based out of London, and I am currently responsible for global revenue enablement at a company called CarSearch, but I'm also responsible for a company I founded called Sales Velocity Labs.
Awesome. So could you define what revenue enablement means to you and probably elaborate on its significance for businesses looking to drive growth?
Sure. I guess defining revenue enablement has been one of those questions which has been around for a long time, and I don't think anyone's actually particularly nailed it. It's been evolving over time as well, right? So that definition does continue to change. What I would say particularly on that is whatever definition we give enablement, it needs to contain two words which are often missing. Those two words are revenue impact, right? Mm-hmm. So however we define what revenue enablement is, that there's an end result that we need to think about, and an end result we need to make sure is part of that, which is revenue impact. And that's not to say that enablement are typically responsible for revenue impact. They're not, but they're responsible for those competencies, for those behaviors, for those abilities, skills, attributes within a sales team, a commercial team, that does impact revenue. So ultimately, that's what it means to me. It's about impacting revenue, not directly, but through a correlation of all of the work that we would do with the leading behaviors and those competencies.
Very well put, Kunal. Can you share more about your journey? Because we're looking at your background and from head of IT at Adecco to current role at CarSearch as VP Global Revenue Enablement and the founder of Sales Velocity Labs, would love to know more about this story.
Yeah, sure. I'll try and keep it as quick as I can. It's a long story. At least it is now anyway. So head of IT at Adecco was, interestingly, I was working for Adecco, which is a staffing company, a global staffing company, for about 7 years, actually. It's a long time. Academically, I came from the technical IT background. And the role was very technical. It was started off as a software developer, ended up being a manager of the actual development team. That led to being head of IT for a company that Adecco had acquired, which was based in India, actually, called PeopleOne. What that allowed me to experience was not just working in a corporate environment, but working in an environment where I was kind of almost as a consultant, going to another company as a consultant, understanding and running a discovery as to what the key challenges were, and putting in processes, solutions, and infrastructure to support the future growth of that company. And that gave me a little taste of what it's like to be working at a company as more of a on a consulting basis, almost like a client-vendor relationship, almost, not quite. So when I returned from that stint, I decided to go and work for a company that actually serviced clients, right, and be more client-facing. So that's when I entered kind of the SaaS domain. This is going back to sort of around 2005, I think, when SaaS was still in its infancy, especially in the enterprise space.
Yeah.
And I got hooked on the value proposition of SaaS, the future of where it was going, and obviously wanted to be part of that. I was performing more of a consulting role and more of a management consulting role there, offering guidance and support on processes, on tech, on systems, on certain aspects of the solution that we were selling. And that got me into the sales aspect. So I had the technical, I had the programming project, and now I wanted the sales. And I think all of this stems from the fact that I have an entrepreneurial spirit, I think, behind me. Some people call it intrapreneur, meaning, you know, you can work for a corporate, but still operate and feel like you're an entrepreneur internally. And I think that was me. So that led to kind of more of the sales aspects, solution consulting, pre-sales as well, working with partnerships, various aspects. And then I found myself doing a lot of what is now known as enablement, which led me to working for a company called SuccessFactors, which is one of the pioneers of SaaS, enterprise SaaS back in those days. Yeah. and witnessing birth of, you know, essentially enablement as it is today. That led to more focused enablement roles, and ultimately led to the global leadership roles that I'm performing today, as well as using all of that experience, all of that knowledge and know-how to be able to found my own company to support other companies and gain from that experience and those outcomes which I've learned to deliver.
Yeah, that's a compelling and diverse growth trajectory, Kunal. In fact, it's a rare combination, right? Technical acumen and sales. So,
So, I think it's an interesting one because I think to succeed in an enablement role, I think one of the things that you need to be able to do and have is be able to translate technical or business problems into solutions. And enablement is a lot about that, right? It's about solutions, whether it's internal for customers, you know, whoever it may be for. So having that ability to translate that, but also deliver that message to at all levels, from, you know, sales reps to sales leadership to the executive team and C-suite, right? I think that's a really interesting skill to have.
That's a great take, Kunal. In fact, that's important both for internal and external customers in general. So in your experience, what are some key strategies that SaaS companies can adopt? Because you've seen the early stages of SaaS. So what are the strategies that SaaS companies can adopt to achieve a significant increase in revenue? As you mentioned, say over, right? So what could be that, those key strategies?
Obviously, I'll be slightly biased here and say enablement plays a key part in revenue growth. Of course it does, right? I think we all recognize that. That said, enablement has taken a little bit of a hit in recent years, especially the last 2 years since at least the pandemic, where when in the moment companies really started to struggle, especially those companies who had taken maybe more of a VC-led approach, you know, growth at all cost type approach, and they'd hired teams of enablers. And the moment they started to struggle and they started to look for cash and started to look to save on cash, essentially, within their businesses, enablement was one of those roles they saw as expendable.
Yeah.
I think there's multiple reasons for that. That could be a podcast in itself. But what essentially happened was, you know, too many enablement functions were being seen as a cost center, who weren't delivering critical, or at least perceived not to be delivering critical value to the sales function, or as I started off with, delivering revenue impact. Right. So if I'm a CFO at a company and I say, what does your enablement function do? The chief sales officer, the chief revenue officer, if they say they do training, they do onboarding, they put content together, they, you know, help us go to market, that might not be enough, right? Which is why the revenue impact piece is so important. And ultimately, I think one of the most important things that companies can do to help them with their growth strategies now is to be able to answer the question, what is the revenue impact of your enablement function? And if they can answer that, they can measure it. If they can measure it, they can improve it, right? That said, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. Some may say it's not possible, right? Mm-hmm. I believe it is possible. I believe that there is an argument to say that enablement should be fighting for attribution when it comes to revenue, right? Because marketing fight for attribution, they have done for decades and since the beginning of marketing. Salespeople obviously will. Solution consulting, they will as well. SDRs will say, I bought a deal, and there's lots of attribution conversations happening. Enablement should be part of it.
Yeah.
And I think if companies can crack that code as to how they can attribute revenue enablement to revenue impact, there's a lot that happens in between that correlation. But if they can crack that code, that can be a certain route to sustainable growth.
Yeah. You did mention about revenue enablement perceived as cost centers. And also there's difficulty in measuring and probably a need for attribution for revenue enablement as well. End of the day, how do you measure success, Kunal? Like, what kind of measurements can actually help you? Well, I understand it's difficult, but are there any measures that you put or any metric that you put to measure all of these success? Any key performance indicators for your team that you probably measure them on a regular basis?
Yeah. Revenue is a key indicator, of course, but that's not the be all and end all as to how enablement measures, except because it's not a believable story, right? when you say, oh, we delivered X millions in revenue, most executives will say, no, you didn't, right? But we can build a picture and tell a story as to how that impact may. And that brings into play a collection of KPIs and measures. The clue is in the company I founded called Sales Velocity Lab. So that's one of the key metrics I use is sales velocity. Very relevant to SaaS companies, I would say. And it breaks down into really four components. And four components that are the only four components that drive how much you sell, right? That drive revenue, which is the number of pipe opportunities entering your pipeline, your average deal values, your average win rates, and the average length of sales cycle. Sales velocity is actually an equation. And when you formulate that equation, the result is a rate of revenue on a periodic basis, whatever that revenue may be. That's still a lagging indicator, however, right? Enablers don't directly impact win rate, for example. They don't directly impact number of opportunities entering pipeline, although they can influence that based on the programs that they're delivering. Yeah. What does impact those four key components are what I call kind of leading indicators. Those leading indicators are competencies, behaviors, you know, skills, attributes, process, engagement, adoption, effectiveness, all these kind of things. The key is those leading indicators are dynamic, those KPIs, right? It can depend on the program that you're running. It could depend on the project that is being delivered, right? So one project might have a different set of leading indicator KPIs compared to the other one. A lot of enablers often get trapped in this. I need to have one set of KPIs, and that's what I'm going to use to measure for the entire year. From a lagging perspective, that works, right? Revenue, sales velocity. But from a leading indicator perspective, which is what enablers actually deliver against, not so much. So I do believe that leading indicator KPIs need to be dynamic based on a program. And you know, ultimately, these KPIs and projects and programs that enable that deliver are defined based on a revenue gap. Now, that's where we start. We start at a revenue gap, understand what are the four components that drive the revenue gap, sales velocity, understand what are the key incremental gains we need to find. So how much do we need to improve win rate by? What percentage of our average deal values to increase? You know, all those kind of things. And what are the key competencies, behaviors, processes, engagement, adoption that drives that, the leading indicators, right? So there's a correlation now. And ultimately, this is just a revenue enablement program. It's a project, right? The problem that we have, I think, in enablement, which often contributes towards it being seen as a cost center, is we start from the program rather than the revenue gap, right? We start on the other side, which is we need to do some negotiation training. That's typically the start. And then we do some negotiation training and it stops there, right? Did it have an impact? How did we measure against it? Why did we even do that? You know, what was the reason for that? Which lever are we trying to pull here? Which sales velocity lever are we trying to turn to an impact? That doesn't often happen, right? That's the difference, right? You start from revenue, you work backwards as opposed to starting a program and working forwards. So it's quite a long answer to your question, but that's kind of how I typically drive the KPIs and measure.
Yeah. Oh, this is very helpful, Kunal. And in your role, there's always tried and tested methods, as well as you introduce a lot of new innovative sales enablement programs. So how do you generally strike a balance between these two, because it's very hard and gentle?
I mean, partnership, collaboration, communication with the executive teams is key. Sales leaders, frontline leaders, having them on board early and often is so key. And one of the key ways I've been able to kind of strike that balance is making sure that before we do something from an enablement perspective, that the relevant stakeholders are on board, right? And what do I mean by on board? Not just agreeing, yes, that's something we should do, but understanding why we're doing something, the measure of success of that program, and what the likelihood of, and what the likely impact is going to be, right? I'll give you one example of that. A company once came to me and said, we need to do some negotiation training, right? And my question to them was, why? And they said, well, we're giving too many discounts away, right, on our pricing point. And so when you really dug deep, the problem wasn't they didn't know how to negotiate. The problem was they were not selling value, right? They had this inability to sell value. They were not using business cases. They weren't using ROI calculators effectively enough. You know, all these kinds of things, which basically meant at the end, they had to deliver a discount in order for the deal to close. But it was the symptom was negotiation, but it wasn't the root cause. Now, when we kind of dissected that and said, of your top performers in the company, what do they do? One of the things they do is compelling business cases. What's their win rate? What's the average deal value when they do that? And it's somewhere here versus everyone else who's somewhere down there. And they don't do compelling business cases. They don't, deliver value-based messaging. So now it was a case of, well, what if we got those people down here up to there, right? By doing these things, can we see a foreseeable impact? And the answer is yes, we could see an impact, right? Because that's what the top performers do. We're replicating that level of performance. As it turned out, that was essentially me getting the stakeholders on board before we even did a thing, right? They were fully on board. It was almost a no-brainer. We have to do this thing, right? It's going to work. But not just that, but they also knew what the impact would be from a revenue perspective. Therefore, from in their minds, commissions, right? And then once we did it, obviously there's a lag of a few quarters, but did we hit an impact? Yes, we did, right? And that's when the conversation becomes trickier, which is, were revenue enablement really responsible for that increase, the impact that we saw? There's lots of reasons why impact happens, right? Not always revenue enablement. But then the conversation comes down to, well, at the beginning, did we not agree that this is the impact we should see? Then even if we take a small percentage of that impact, you're still talking about a few million dollars a year, right? It's a conversation. It's how you position, it's how you deliver messaging, all these kind of things. But the key is, how do you get people on board early, often, and continually? That's essentially how to deliver that level of stability in terms of what we're doing and how we're doing it, which is the most effective means, is having those people on board.
Absolutely. And what are the current trends in revenue enablement that you find particularly exciting or impactful? And how do they shape the future itself, right? So what kind of trends do you follow and is you're super excited about it?
Yeah. I'm starting to see quite a lot of trends. I mean, data is becoming a lot more fashionable now, which is a good thing. Having a data-led enablement function is great. Having an enablement function which is people-led in the sense of empathy and the psychology of sales, and that's very interesting as well. And ultimately, you can't have these kind of conversations without mentioning AI. AI is taking a lot of the workload away from enablement and supporting functions as well. Is not going to replace enablement imminently, right? But that's probably way ahead in the future. Maybe never, who knows, right? What it can do, however, is for those people who are utilizing and leveraging AI, it will make them more productive, more efficient, more effective, perhaps, than those people who are not. I personally am using it, have used it, and I've used it to speed up content production. I've used it to speed up research and analysis. I've used it to speed up data analysis. And there's plenty of use cases out there for even sales teams, right, to use it to support them. New companies are popping up every day who are leveraging AI to facilitate use cases, processes within the sales and sales enablement domain. It certainly is the future. And that future innovation is, the innovation is increasing in pace as well, because it's becoming easier to innovate. It's becoming a lot more accessible to a lot of people, right? So it's firm, my belief is firmly, if we can combine data with AI and help it and help enablement drive decision making, drive priorities, drive decisions, and drive delivery ultimately, that can have a massive impact. And that's available today. It's not the future. It's here to, it's here now. We need to embrace it, I think.
That's a great point of combining data and AI for decision making, Kunal. Any final thoughts or wisdom for our listeners who aspire to excel in the field of revenue enablement?
I think when it comes to aspiring in revenue enablement, the aspiration is to have a voice, to be seen, to be perceived, and actually delivering measurable impact to the company, which then ultimately allows enablement to be elevated, right? And I think we see too many manager positions in the field and not enough leadership, not enough people reporting into the CRO or the CSO perhaps, or even the company founders. I think enablement has the potential to have a seat at a table, maybe not a top table just yet, but at least in a revenue top table. But I think it's struggling to get there. There are certain barriers which limit that. So if there's an enabler aspiring to get there, what I would suggest is become data-led. Use the data. It may be outside of the comfort zone, but there's certainly a lot of resources out there, including myself, who can support how we get there. Start to leverage AI to make yourself more productive, to so get the laborious tasks, you know, away and focus on strategy. And you know, for even for junior positions, there's no harm in focusing on the bigger picture and the vision, right? And try to be more of a business partner to your leadership teams, right? As opposed to just delivering training or content or onboarding programs. So stop thinking so programmatically and move more strategically, piece by piece. I know it's difficult, it's not easy from day one, but piece by piece, and that will help you to elevate yourself, your profession, your role, job titles, compensation, all of it.
One final question, Kunal. Where can our audience connect with you and learn more about your work and revenue enablement?
LinkedIn is the best place. You know, you'll find me talking about enablement on LinkedIn, both through my profile, but also the profile of Sales Velocity Labs. So there's a lot of content there. And we talk about all of the things I've been saying on this podcast, right? So that's generally the topic. How do we become more strategic? How do we elevate the profile of enablement? Ultimately, what I want to see is more leadership positions out there. I want to see more strategic business drivers within the enablement space. That's when we'll truly be recognized as the impacting organization that we are. So LinkedIn is the best place, so feel free to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Kunal. It was lovely meeting you and hearing your thoughts.
Likewise, appreciate you having me on the podcast. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of this insightful episode of GoTo Masters. Big thanks to Kunal for sharing his experiences and valuable insights. Remember, you can tune in every week to learn more from game changers driving hyper-growth companies across the globe. GoTo Masters is brought to you by Everstage, your trusted partner for transforming the way businesses handle sales compensation. I'm your host, signing off.